The attorneys bringing a lawsuit against Republican fake electors and their lawyers in Wisconsin will be allowed to remain on the case. It's Thursday, April 20th. This is Wisconsin Today. Good morning. I'm Alex Crow. Coming up, we've got the latest on the Microsoft data center planned for the land originally intended for Foxconn. And Evan Casey has a story about an inner-city Little League program with a rich history. Stay with us.
If you've never given before, but you look forward to listening to WPR every day, that's a sign it's time to donate. It means that WPR is important to you, and you are important to us. We're listener-supported radio, which means we count on money from people like you to make the programs possible. Make your first-ever contribution today at WPR.org. Thank you.
The attorneys bringing a lawsuit against Republican fake electors and their lawyers in Wisconsin will be allowed to remain on the case. Sean Johnson reports.
The case was brought by attorneys for Law Forward and the firm Stafford Rosenblum. They sued Wisconsin Republicans who posed as electors after the 2020 election, and they also sued the lawyers who helped them. That included Jim Troupas, who was the lawyer for the Trump campaign in Wisconsin. Troupas argued Stafford Rosenblum had a conflict of interest because they once represented him for some estate planning work. But attorney Stacey Rosenzweig, who represented the firm, said that work had long since concluded.
Mr. Troupas had long ceased being a client by any arguable measure.
Troupas wanted the court to remove the firms from the case, but Dane County Judge Frank Remington ruled against him. There have been no substantive rulings yet in the case. Plaintiffs are seeking punitive damages of up to $2.4 million. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Plans for a Microsoft data center in Mount Pleasant were approved by the Racine County Board of Supervisors this week. Microsoft is purchasing 315 acres for the $1 billion project. That land was originally intended for Foxconn. As part of the agreement, Microsoft needs to finish the first phase of construction by July of 2026. Racine County Executive Jonathan Delagrave told the county board he thinks other tech companies will come to Racine because of the deal.
Bringing in an A1 world-class company like Microsoft is just one more step to continuous improvement.
The data center will mainly house computer and networking systems. It's still unclear how many people will work at the site. Wisconsin Supreme Court is considering whether a man who was wrongfully convicted is entitled to know why the state limited the compensation for his years in prison to $25,000. Hope Kerwin has more on the case, which was heard on Wednesday.
Derek Sanders served 26 years for being party to a homicide. Courts twice overturned his convictions, and prosecutors eventually dropped their case against him. The state claims board awarded Sanders the maximum amount allowed under state law, but they did not address his request for an additional $5.7 million in damages. The board could have recommended the state legislature award the additional compensation, but Assistant Attorney General Colin Roth argues that's an optional step.
I think there's no legal right at issue to more than $25,000. That's the bottom line here.
But an attorney for Sanders says it's up to the claims board to decide what the adequate compensation is for someone's wrongful imprisonment. He says that decision can ultimately be challenged in court, so it needs to be documented. Hope Kerwin, Wisconsin Public Radio.
University of Wisconsin System President Jay Rothman is calling for financial assessments of all two-year UW campuses. Rich Kramer reports the directive comes as the campus, formerly known as UW-Richmond, winds down its final semester of college classes.
After a 2018 merger of the UW's two-year colleges and four-year universities, enrollment at two-year campuses has fallen by around 48%. Now, UW System President Jay Rothman is asking chancellors to assess financial and operational challenges at those institutions. UW-Platteville chemistry professor Chuck Cornett says it only makes sense.
I think it's only healthy that once we made such a big move to merge those, that the system is wanting to have an overall assessment of where we are after we made such a big move.
On July 1st, classes will cease at UW-Platteville's branch campus in Richland Center. Enrollment there was down to 60 students last fall. Since then, some counties that own two-year campuses have delayed maintenance pending renewed commitments from the UW. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin could get its second school with curriculum aligning with the influential Christian Hillsdale College in Michigan. Mequon business owner Cheryl Rebholz is fundraising to open North Shore Classical Academy High School in 2024. Rebholz owns two businesses in the northern Milwaukee suburb, a beauty salon, and an indoor shooting range. She says public high schools don't give students skills for life after high school.
A lot of people were coming to me and saying the same thing, people in business, people in higher ed, frustrated. With all my experience from the Board of Ed, which was a great training ground, I decided to look into this and restore the four pathways.
Last year, Hillsdale College released a 1776 curriculum as a counter to the New York Times 1619 project and its corresponding curriculum. Hillsdale has a member school in Oconomowoc, the Lake Country Classical Academy. Coming up, Evan Casey reports on an inner-city Little League program that's bucking the trend of declining youth sports participation. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
And finally, the nation is seeing a decline in youth sports participation. In Milwaukee, some studies have also pointed to barriers that some inner-city youth are facing when it comes to playing in sports programs. But Evan Casey has a report on how one inner-city Little League program with a rich history is seeing continued success.
It's a busy day here at the Beckham Stapleton Little League in Milwaukee. Players are trying out for spots on the roster at the facility's indoor practice space.
Last one, hit it.
That's the voice of Tawina Duncan, a coach for the league. As a kid, Duncan would help operate the scoreboard during games. Now, she gives up many of her weeknights to help volunteer. She says it's a positive way to help keep kids off the streets in the summer.
But this is something positive to get them on a straight and narrow path. It teaches them teamwork. It teaches them camaraderie. It teaches them responsibility. It teaches them that you don't have to be perfect to be successful.
The Little League was founded in 1964 by a former player for the Negro Leagues. And even today, most of its players are black. It began with just four teams. Now, over 300 children, ages 4 to 16, play against each other. Duncan's son Matthew is one of those players. He started playing baseball when he was just 5 years old.
I was screwing up, but I didn't give up and I kept trying. And now, a couple years later, I'm 12 years old, won the championship game, and going on to the juniors now.
Nationally, participation in youth sports has been declining in recent years. A report from the Milwaukee Youth Sports Alliance found cost and safety concerns can keep low-income youth from playing in the league. It also found that some inner-city schools have gotten rid of their sports programs altogether. Quentin Prince played for the league as a child and is the current executive director of the Alliance. He says youth sports should be for everyone.
And so if we can elevate youth sports, give them an outlet, and allow them the opportunity to be engaged in this activity, but then also all of the benefits that come from it, you know, we could change the trajectory of so many lives in a positive way.
But it's not easy. In 2020, the Wisconsin Policy Forum found a lack of funding was the biggest challenge for youth sports organizations in the city. Many programs in Milwaukee, including the Beckham Stapleton Little League, rely on private donations and fundraising. But Prince believes the community can come together to fix the issue.
And that means the youth sports organizations working with corporate foundations, working with the school system, across the board, we need just a network of partnerships where people are coming together to support this effort.
Meanwhile, the Beckham Stapleton Little League is defying the trend. It's seen what its president Jim Bray calls, quote, an explosion of players in recent years. That's largely because they now have a new softball program for girls. Bray says he spends much of his time talking to potential sponsors, since some players need help buying gloves and cleats.
Our statement is that anybody who registers will play, and we will work out, get sponsors, do whatever we can.
Since its start, coaches and volunteers with the Little League have mentored over 25,000 youth in Milwaukee. Alumni include police officers, teachers, and lawmakers. Devin Harris, a former NBA player for the Dallas Mavericks, played in the league in the 1990s. Back at league tryouts, Matthew Duncan says he has high hopes for his future baseball career.
I plan on making it to the professionals, and once I'm out of there, I plan to become a brain surgeon.
Games begin this May. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And that'll do it. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers are John Davis and Bridget Bowden. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts every weekday morning. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a rating and review. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.